Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time, and Father, for what you're going to do in it. And God, we thank you for life examples. We thank you for those moments in our lives, God, that you just teach us things, that you show us things. And Father, we're thankful and grateful for those key is, and we know this, God, we need to learn from them. And so, Father, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you, God, for your instruction. And God, thank you for what you place in us. And we know that if we live in obedience to what you tell us, God, it improves our life. It improves our thinking. It draws us closer to you, God. It just makes things better. And so, Father, this morning, I pray that you use me as your instrument, God, to just give some testimony of who you are. And God, how you deal with us and how you work with us and how you work in us. And so, Father, may you be glorified and honored in what is being said on behalf of you dealing with one of your children. And so, Father, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see you this morning. I think Josh laid this here. He's wanting me to sing because, you know, I'm not sure, but I'm going to slide this right here. Anyway, he's trying to recruit me. He knows the talent. He knows the talent. Anyway, oh, man, I wished I could sing. I thank God for people who has awesome vocal cords. It's awesome. So anyway, oh, wow. This morning, yeah. So I'll give you a little bit of my testimony that actually just happened this week. And you'll understand more of it once I get into it. You know, I've told you to kind of the way that sermons come about in my heart, in my way, and that's in God just dealing with me. It's not that I don't sit down and, you know, I do research on certain subjects, and sometimes I'll prepare that for a month or two, and then I'll bring it to you, and I think that's great and well. I know there's preachers that's told me before that they plan out a year's sermon in advance, and more power to you. But my thinking is if you got something that you've planned out in a year's advance, are you actually listening to God? You know, I prefer God just shake me, rattle me, and show me what he wants me to say. So that's what happened today. Actually happened this week. So I'm going to get started. And what I'm going to do, and if you'll throw the title up, this may be a little self-explanatory. When your vacation turns to frustration. Anybody ever had that happen? Well, a couple of us. Okay. So anybody in here ever been frustrated at any time in your life? Anybody think you might be in the future? See, that's where I want to hit right there. The future frustration, how you can handle that, how you deal with that, what it looks like. And though the frustrations, the cause of it may be different than what I'm going to describe today, things still frustrate us, and we need to deal with it. We need to handle it. And the biggest part of it, we need to honor God as we're going through it. And so that's the reason I want to say what I want to say today. And I'm going to kind of just tell you a story because I got to give you a little background before we get there. This week was like frustration dynamite went off Monday morning, and it trickled all throughout the week in my life. That's what you want to hear, right? Your pastor is like failing miserably. So anyway, but I'm going to show you what God done in all of it. So Monday started off just kind of rotten. And I was thinking, I said, Thursday. Oh, come on, Thursday. Just come on, Thursday. Thursday is going to be a day of relaxation. It's going to be the most awesome day in all time in my life. It's just going to be great. And so I was looking forward to Thursday. And it just, I don't know about y'all, but it tends when frustration comes into my life. It don't come in a lump. It comes in little trickles. You know, a little bit here, you know, you try to be good and you try to be okay with it. And, you know, you get up and you got to be somewhere at a certain time and now your equipment won't start. You can't get anything running. And so I'm like, yeah, so you got to call the customer and tell them, look, I'll be there 2 hours later. So that was Monday. I said, Mondays are always supposed to be bad, right? That's what we say. Nobody likes Mondays. You need to love Mondays. Mondays are awesome, says the one who gets frustrated. So anyway, it just kind of started there and just kind of rolled throughout the work week. You know, you pick up chainsaws, they don't crank. And it's like, what in the world? It's like some kind of misery fairy visited you overnight or something, you know? I mean, what in the world is going on here? But I was looking forward to Thursday. So, you know, I've had crappy weeks before, and you'll have those, and it'll be okay. Get Thursday, man. I get to go hang out with the guys, get to go camping. That's awesome. So we getting there, and and by the way, I took my Bibles and I took some books to read, and I was gonna sit in the mountains and prepare y'all the best sermon that had ever been preached. Because of where I was, it was just gonna flow. You know, preacher, Bible, and coffee and God, you know, it was just gonna be great. It's going to be great. So I packed up all my Bible stuff, and I was looking forward to preparing a great sermon. And so, you know, I get in the car, and I forgot half the stuff I was supposed to carry. I didn't carry me a pillow. And if you've ever tried to use bath towels for pillows, that don't work well. But anyway, so I'm just in the heck with it. I go pick up a few a little items, and so I'm on my way. So I kind of what happened was, yesterday when I got home, I'm going to tell you the last of the story, and it'll make sense as I tell you the story. As I got home yesterday, I still didn't have a sermon. Still had nothing. But I've learned God has done enough in my life that I can walk in that door and God can give me something to teach you or to preach. So that doesn't so much freak me out anymore. I'm confident that God will give his messenger what his messenger is supposed to have. And so I'm pretty cool with that. So, but you're going to hear me say something different in just a minute, but I'll explain that. So anyway, yesterday when I got home, I literally wrote out a story. I wrote a little book, actually. And oh my gosh, we won't be out of here before two. No, it's just a little book. It's like 3 pages long. I wrote a little book of my story about my camping trip. And so I'm going to share that story with you this morning. You're going to have to kind of bear with me while I read that, and it'll make sense when we get to the end. I share the scripture with you because in all of this, man, my week got whacked really fast, and Thursday didn't improve at all. I had a brief moment Thursday going up the road because I was going to get in the car. It was going to be me and God and some music. We were just going to worship, and I was going to talk to God. Anybody ever have one of those trips? Aren't they great? And that was my plan, man. I was just going to get set. Thursday was here. It didn't turn out that way. So let me walk you through the story, and then I'll preach the message, which is about this long. And I hope you take it home because, guys, I'm telling you, frustration can mess you up. It can get you all mixed up, get you all messed up, get you thinking things, get your attitude where it just literally stinks. I even done something that I never thought I'd do. I snapped at Mark. Mark's my brother, and I love him. And once the phone come on, I snapped. Like, where in the world are you? You know? And so anyway, that'll be in the story, too. You're in the book, man. So anyway, here's my story. So a three-hour trip, we're going up the road, and my three-hour trip turns into like a five-hour trip. And here's why. I got lost. Yes, I did. I got lost. I covered the entire upstate. I drove over the entire upstate, it seemed. But anyway, so I'm under a time crunch because I have supper for the guys. And if I wouldn't have had supper, I'd have probably just turned around and come back home. In fact, when Mark finally answered his phone or called me, I said, dude, I'm going back home. I'm done. Y'all just fend for yourselves. I'm finished. And I was just that blunt about it. And then I felt bad about that. Not much, but I felt a little bit bad. And so I go, and I knew I had to get soup. This is weird. This is so weird. The soup's what kept me going. I had to get supper to the guys. You know, and I didn't want to let them down. But as I and here's some of the good part of the story. As I was, covering the entire upstate, I began to get frustrated when I went through a few road construction zones, both GPS, and I kid you not, Grapevine Campground does not exist. If you are a fugitive, somebody may can get you there. I can't, but somebody may can get you to that campground. They won't find you because it doesn't exist, at least on GPS. I have my phone GPS. I have my Garmin. I had all those set, and I am serious. I'm going up the road, and they just bleep. That's it. And nothing, everything I type in, no matches. If I had a match, I'd burn you, but there was no matches. So I'm typing the stuff in. It goes blank. That frustration begins to trickle into anger, and it begins to make my attitude something that I don't desire and want to be. And I'm serious. I'm like, I'd gotten so frustrated because nobody was calling me to check on me. You notice a little part of the story is about me. You need to pay attention to that, okay? Nobody's calling to check on me. I can't get in touch with anybody to let them know, I'm out here with my cheese hanging in the wind, guys. Where are you? You know? And so I tried Trey's phone. I tried Mark like 40 times. I tried his brother's phone. Who else? I called Josh. I knew Josh wasn't going to answer because he probably cut his off. So anyway, I was calling everybody. Nobody answered. So anyway, it just began to trickle into this anger. And got snappy with Mark. And so I'm fixing to just turn around and head back home. And but it hits me again. Guys ain't going to have no supper. I don't know why that was important to me. The guys ain't going to have no supper. And it became a big deal. I wanted to get this to them. And I got to deliver the soup. Don't want to disappoint the guys. Mark and his brother end up having to come get me, and that's just crazy. Maybe I don't not look at my notes. I think I can tell this by memory. Anyway, so I get off, Mark tells me to get off Fountain Inn, sitting in Fountain Inn, sat there for like 45 minutes, called 40 times, asked the guys in the hardware store, where's Grapevine Campground? They're like, never heard of it. Went to a fire department, made it to Simpsonville. I'm driving. I'm just covering the upstate. Made it to Simpsonville, went to the fire department. There's a deputy sheriff and a fireman there, and I go in there and say, this is it. These guys will be able to point right to it. And the first words out of his mouth said, you're a long ways off. That's awesome. I got soup I got to get to the guys. So anyway, I go in there and they say, yeah, we can help you. I'm sure. They go in there and they pull a fire department maps are awesome. They're like much better than we have. So he's pulling up this big technical thing and he starts telling me. I said, no, sir, see, I'm lost. I'm not that smart. You're going to need to write these down. So anyway, he begins to write them down And I spend a few minutes with them talking I'm just lost. And so I go back out to the car, check my GPS one more time, no matches. Still ain't got nothing, no matches. Oh, crud. So get back in the car. I said, well, the only thing I know to do is try Mark one more time. So I try Mark one time, nothing. Mark has now been deceased. He's gone. He's either the rapture's happened and I missed it or something's taking place because Mark ain't on the face of the earth no more. Trey doesn't exist anymore. Josh doesn't exist. Clarence doesn't exist. Nobody exists that I need to get in touch with. So this time I'm getting worried over I can't get the soup to them, and they may have been raptured and I didn't get there. So anyway, I get back on. I said, the only thing I know to do is get back on 385, just go to Guy 20. He said, yeah, you got about an hour and a half ride. You're going to have to go up to I-85, go down this way, go back down, and then you'll run into Grapevine. He said, you probably a good hour and a half off. I'm good with that, but the soup has to be there by dark. We got to eat the soup. So I'm going, I'm getting on 385, and anyway, road construction. I have to get off at some point. Not where the GPS, because GPS ain't working. I'm just driving blind. I'm just driving. So I get off, and I wonder what town I'm in now. And so I go to this little town, and I see a road sign that says 123. 123, that's close to Clemson. Clemson's got to be around here somewhere. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Clemson's got to be around here somewhere. So I didn't know whether it was right or left. I said, I've been taking chances all day long. Let's try left, you know. So I took a left and started heading down 123, and the most wonderful sign in all of history comes about. It says, easily Clemson this way. Ooh, yeah, now I know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm at, but I know where I'm going. So I'm headed down the road, and I get to Clinton. By this time, I'm fuming. I'm boiling over. I'm like, those guys will not return my phone calls. And I'm not thinking about them. Who cares about them? You know, I'm thinking about, I'm lost. I got to get the soup to them. So I'm so consumed with what's going on at the moment in my life. So consumed. So I got to get the soup to them. So it's going to make me look like an idiot. Who hates to look like an idiot? Yeah, I hate that. It's going to make me look dumb. I'm supposed to be a smart guy, and I can't figure this out. And so, anyway, I get to Clemson, and finally, Mark must have climbed a tree or something. He got reception. And then he said, where are you at? Where am I at? You know, I'm in Clemson. I had done drove, I drove through the campus just like I knew exactly what I was doing. drove through the campus. I know there's a little bar and grill down there. Yeah, I went in and got drunk. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's a little, anyway, so there's like a little Esso sign down there close to the football stadium. So I remembered that kind of thing. And so anyway, I go down there, park at that little store, and I'm like, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm not going. I'm just going home. So Mark talks to or calls me, and I tell him what highway I'm on. He said, just sit there. I don't want to sit here. I won't be mad. I won't go home. And so he says, where are you at? I gave him my address, and he said, well, can you come and meet us on this road so they won't have to drive so far? Mark didn't understand that every road I took was wrong that day. He says this to me, and I didn't say this to you. I'm sorry. I apologize. He says this to me. He said, well, where are you sitting? He said, you either got to go right or left. Well, I know that, Mark. There's no road on the other side. I know I got to go right or left. Every time I choose right, I end up going left. And so anyway, I get in the car and say, what the heck? Well, you know, let's just do it. By this time, it's getting giddy. You know, I'm starting to giggle. You know, I'm like, this is insane. So I take a right. That wasn't the road I was supposed to be on. So I turn around. I did go to New Spring Church. Ooh, you know, I turn around their parking lot. As I've been there before, recognize that. So I turn around. I come back to the campus of Clemson. Two glorious little trips right through the the college. And so that was beautiful. But anyway, I come down, and Mark's telling me, he found out. I said, Mark, I ain't found that road nowhere. I said, I'm pulling in at the gas station, some kind of Quick Mart. I'm pulling in. If you ain't here in 15 minutes, I'm going home. And so anyway, we get in the gas station. Mark calls and he said, all right, I said, we're on the way, man. Just sit still. Yeah, I'm just, yeah. And so I'm sitting there in the car listening to worship music and praising God, and that wasn't the case. And so Mark tells me, he said, he's on the phone with me, because I think he's afraid to hang up at this point. So he's on the phone with me, and I said, you'll cross over a bridge. He said, we done crossed over a bridge. Brother, if you crossed over a bridge, you done passed me, because I'm sitting right here at the bridge as you come out of Clemson. And he said, well, just hold tight. So I'm like, oh, gosh. So we keep talking, and you know, I knew Clarence's little truck. So anyway, finally they show up, and Mark said, I'll ride back with you. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you ride back with me? That's a good idea. So he gets in the car, and I, unchristian as can be, I'm just like, dude, y'all shouldn't have left me hanging. You know, just it's all about me. Anybody ever get consumed in your frustration like that? It's just all about you. And that's where I was, and I shouldn't be there, and it's just shameful. So anyway, we go back to the campground, and you know, the guys are there, and one of the guys does something really stupid. He said, there's the guy that can't read a GPS. I didn't need to hear that. My GPS don't work. You know, this campground doesn't exist. We're standing in the Twilight Zone. And so anyway, we're there, and that comment's made, I better just get the pot out and cook the soup. I just need to cook the soup. So we get the pot out, fire up the burner, and we start warming up soup, and now everything's good in Danny's world. I'm there, and I'm like cooking the soup. It smells good. The guys are around, and all that was good. So we eat the soup, we sit around the campfire, we talk, and I'm trying my best to forget about the events of a day. And it would have been okay, except I believe I broke God's heart. I believe that, and I don't know how you view this, but I'm certain that God was disappointed with my actions. I think God was disappointed with the way I had reacted to a situation. I told Cindy, I said, it would have turned out the same way if I would have just stayed calm, been okay. When Mark called me and said, yeah, man, I'm down here, dude, I can't find him. Y'all come get me. If I'd have just stayed calm, it would have all worked out. I got so mad that the top of my head felt like it was going to blow off. And it accomplished nothing. I didn't get to the campground 1 second faster. It didn't help anything. The frustration didn't help anything. So I'm at the campground, man, and we were eating, and I'm sitting there thinking, these guys have no clue of how angry I actually was. And they have no clue of how ashamed I am. of that in my life. They have no clue. But I'm in, you know, I'm here now. Everything's fine. And it just wasn't fine. It just wasn't fine. I didn't deal with it, I didn't live it out like God would desire me to live it out. So anyway, Thursday night comes that night, and I'd had a great time talking with the guys. It's just, you can't beat a campfire of men sitting around spitting and scratching and all. You just can't beat that. So I had a great time, man, you know, sitting around. See, I had to go face God. So when I got my 10, it was just me and God. And you're going to have to face Him. If you're a follower of Christ, the things we do that doesn't honor God, you're going to have to face that. So lesson number one today, think about what you're doing. Is it honoring God? Because if not, you're going to have to face that and you're going to have to deal with it. So I laid down my tent that night, and undoubtedly there were still some fumes from the fire of earlier in the day, because I tried my best to pray to God and I could not talk to God. That's how ashamed I was. I just could not talk to God. So I laid there and I tossed and tumbled for just a little bit. And the only thing I could say is, God, thank you for loving me, and good night. That's the only thing I could say. That's just, I just melted after that. And so God granted me with a good night's sleep. And, next morning I woke up and, God, I'm so sorry for yesterday. But I got out of my tent, and now it's time to go prepare a message. So I grabbed my Bible. Actually, I had two Bibles. So I grabbed them because two was better than one. I grabbed those. I go down to the campfire, and an old friend of mine, went to church with him for years and years. He was by the campfire and hadn't caught up with him in years. So I went down there and I laid my book open and stuff. He's whittling. I'm looking at, the Bible, and nothing's coming to me. And we get to talking and finally just shut it. And you ever had anybody, Bible teacher, you just had it when you can read like scripture after scripture after scripture, and you're searching for a sermon, and you ever heard God said, have you ever heard Him say, just shut that and talk to me? I don't know. That sounds like a very unreligious thing to do. But it's kind of like I'd do my boys when I was, they were at home. They'd be inside. I said, just stop and listen to me. Just stop and listen to me. And it's like God told me at the campsite, just shut your Bible. Just shut your Bible. I want you to listen to me. So, me and Alan were sitting there talking, and I finally told him, I said, man, I'm going to go get me some shut-eye. I'm going to go take me a nap. All the other guys that went, fishing up at the hatchery or whatever, and I don't know, Trey disappeared. You might have went and took you a nap. Anyway, smart people. Anyway, so I go get back in my tent. And I lay down, and I began to just tell God how sorry I am. See, the difference between Thursday night and Friday morning was I'd come to a state or a point of repentance. I'd come to a point of not just telling God my bad or I messed up. I come to a point of sorrow, of disappointing God. I come to a point of repentance of like, God, I'm so ashamed. I'm just ashamed. I don't know any man explanations necessarily other than to say I'm sorry, but I owe you everything. And I am so sorry for my actions and my thoughts. See, nobody was in the car with me when all this was going on, so I could have hidden this, because we can all act, right? We can all act, but this just eat at me. It's one reason I wanted to come this morning and share this with you. So I'm laying there in the tent, and God, I'm just so sorry. Forgive me. God, I want to be a usable servant, and I chose to take a path of unusability yesterday because I was so consumed with me, and the guys wouldn't have died if they wouldn't have had the soup. So anyway, yeah, think about it. Yeah, they caught it. So anyway, I'm laying there in the tent and now, gosh, have you ever had a moment when you felt like you couldn't talk to God, and then all of a sudden the door swung open and you can actually talk to me? Have you ever felt that freedom? Oh my gosh, it was like God washed me. And so anyway, and I know this might sound like a fairy tale to you, but this happened to me this weekend. So I'm laying there in the tent, and I'm praying to God, and then the craziest thing happens. I'm laying there on my back and you know, just kick back talking to God, and I fall off asleep. The best 3 hours of sleep I've had in 2 years. God was like, seriously, it was like, why don't you just rest? Which I didn't deserve rest. He should have snatched me out of tent and paddled my bottom. But I seen grace. God said, why don't you just rest? And I did. I rested so much, the roof of my mouth was sore, and I was swole. Like, man, I must have died and came back. I rested. God brought that to me. So I get up out of the tent, and Alan asked me, he said, get you a good nap? Best I've had in a long time. Long time. So God rested me. He still hasn't given me a message to bring to you guys today. And so I open a book, open a Bible, and I'm looking, and nothing's coming. So I finally got to the point where I said, I'm sticking this back in my book bag. And God, as I lay in my tent, I'll just talk to you. I'll just talk to you. I'm going to trust you. You've never, ever let me down. You haven't let anyone down. God, your message will be spoken. I'm your vessel. Clean me. Make me right. Make me pure in your eyes and in your sight. And we'll move from there. This isn't about me. This is about you. And God, you have complete control over who I am, what I do, where I go, and what I say. So it's all you. In fact, I told God, I said, this is yours, not mine. I'm just an instrument. And so Friday night, we sat around the campfire again. We swapped stories, and that's always a good time. But this thing is still, I'm just like, God, I'm so disappointed in myself that I know I disappointed you. And so as I was laying in my tent Friday night, I just talked to God. I prayed once again, Father, you know, make me usable. Get me out of the way. I prayed for the guys. God, if I've damaged or said anything, especially to Mark, God, let them know that I am sorry. And God, give them the ability to forgive an idiot. But, Father, I'm all yours. And so here I am. So we get up Saturday morning and fix breakfast, and I still haven't got a message. No scripture, no nothing. But I begin to see something. Little nuggets of our life matter. It changed something in me. It did something in me. You know, I've told y'all numerous times that God's deal has been dealing with me on my anger for years, and I see Him breaking it down. I see Him removing it from my life. I see Him opening my eyes to scripture. When I come back in repentance, my anger ain't as intense as it used to be. And it's fewer and far between. So God is working. He's shaping me. And I wish He'd just say, whoop, and draw it out of me and it'd be done. But He's teaching me so much as the journey goes. And so I began to ask questions as I drove home yesterday. How does an unruly person come back to God? What does that look like? How does a child that's been, you know, I pictured it kind of like this. Like, I was in God's house. Now, help me just a minute because this makes sense to a country boy. I was in God's house, and I kind of got all blowed up. I walked out, the screen door slammed, and I took off out of God's. I left God. I walked away from God is kind of what I felt like. And I just walked down the road. I just went down the road, and it was all about me. I was whining about me. I was, you know, it was all about me. So I'm just walking down the road as I'm thinking about me. So I've gotten far away from God. How do you come back? How do you come back to God? What will that look like? How is God going to receive you back? And that began to click. Put up the first scripture, Sharon. This came, and I know this is about salvation and all this, but you know the beautiful thing about this Bible? You know the beautiful thing about this? There is so much knowledge that we can gather and so much we can learn, but this thing is living. This thing is living. It's why we study it. And it's so awesome that this particular scripture I have preached, I have taught. I have used it over and over again. Anybody in here got prodigal children? Anybody in here got a prodigal uncle, aunt, a prodigal somebody? Anybody got anybody that run away from God and think that they can never, ever, they're too ashamed or too embarrassed to come back to God or come to God? And so as I was sitting there thinking about this, I said, wow, this instantly came to my thinking. What does it look like when I laid in my tent that night? Is my Heavenly Father sitting beside of my tent going, you're an idiot, and this is the last time I'm not telling you again? Is He sitting there saying that? No. What does it look like as I came back to my Father? Figured out this is wrong. It looked like this. I said, bear with me, I'll get up and go to my Father and say to Him, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. I'm like, God, if you'll just let me stay on the porch. I wasn't close to God. I didn't feel close to God. And God, if you'll just let me be close to you, that desire to want to be close to God was there. And it was like a fire, man. It got lit and it got to burning and that desire was increasing. I just want to be close to God. Because I'll tell you this, and you walk, there's going to be times you walk away from God. There will be times you get away from God. And it is nothing like feeling the burning desire to be close to Him again. You learn something in that. So He got up and He came to His Father. But while He was still a long way out, and this is what God spoke to me, is I was like, how do I come back now? Because I am just embarrassed. I am ashamed. I am disappointed. How do I come back? I said, you know, it came to my mind. I was a lot like the prodigal son that Jesus talked about. I was ashamed. He said, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. You know what I thought as I was laying there in the tent before Saturday morning got there? I'm thinking, that's how daddy receives an unruly child back. And I've always, every time I've preached this scripture, you wonder what, Jesus didn't tell us any more parable or any more story or whatever. You wonder if the daddy had a long conversation after the feast. You know, I don't know. Maybe daddy sat down with him and said, look, son, here's what you need to learn from this. All I know is in the moment of needing, craving, desiring to be close to my God, this is what came in my mind, that my Father was there with open arms. And first, before correction, before saying this is what you did wrong, before dealing with a problem or telling me about it, the first thing my Father would do is come here, let me love you. Come here, let me love you. Just get in my arms and let me love you. That's what came to my mind after my Thursday fiasco. We're now Friday morning fixing to get in the car to come home. This is what is in my head. And so I started to come this morning and just preach about the prodigal son, but it didn't stop there. As I drove home yesterday, I began to, so God, we know we're going to get there again. We know there's going to be frustration in my life again. God, I know there's coming a point in time when something's going to happen, it's going to create that same opportunity. I don't want to do that again. So, Father, what should I know? What should I remember? What should I think about when it's introduced to me again at some point in life? Throw up the next scriptures here. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. This is Paul talking about the thorn in his side. This may be weird for y'all. These are scriptures that came to my mind. How do I get through this? How do I work through this? God, how am I going to make it? How will I not do that again? What needs to happen? He said he prayed three times. Believe me, I might have prayed once for this frustration to leave me on Thursday, but the rest of the time it was all about me being mad. That's just where I was. God, how do I deal with this again? And God said, well, let me remind you of the same thing I reminded Paul. And Paul was in a lot deeper distress than you were. Paul had real problems. Paul wasn't trying to deliver soup anywhere. Paul had real problems. Let me tell you what I told Paul. And if it's good enough for Paul, it should be good enough for you. You need to remember this. You need to think about this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast, Paul says, about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. God says, I'm there with you. God was in the car with me on Thursday. We could have continued. In fact, here's the way I kind of viewed it. Instead of 3 hours, I had 5 hours. I had 2 extra hours to spend with God. I chose to make it about me. I had 2 extra hours. Maybe God said, that was grace, son. You had lots of time. He wasn't worried about getting soup to the boys either. He had, this is grace. So God, the next time I come about along a point in my life like this, I should just remember that no matter the circumstances, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's happening, that your grace is sufficient, that you're there with me, and you're going to, just like Paul, you're going to walk me through this, and all glory and honor be to you. So that's what that looks like. And so yesterday afternoon, I'd done gotten all the way back home by the time I had these two scriptures come to my mind. And I'm like, God, you know, theologically, I don't know. And it's like, stop worrying about what it fits like. I don't have to come preach to impress anybody here this morning. This is what I'm using in your life. This is what I'm giving you. Isn't it awesome that God gives us things that we can grab onto? He gives us things that we can anchor in. And man, I so needed to hear that. Because when he said, my grace is sufficient, it was just another affirmation that he's not going to leave me. At no point during the ride did God say, stop the car, I'm getting out. He was with me. So I'm going to share with you a couple of scriptures on frustration, then we're going home. That sound good? Yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah, so... And I don't have any soup left. So, anyway, here, I'm going to share this with you. If you'll go ahead. Isaiah 41. This is things that I thought about as I'm going to face frustration again. God, it's going to seem like that I'm all by myself. And I'm going to tell you, and this is wimpy. Y'all can make fun of me afterwards. This is really wimpy. I felt so alone. Like I couldn't find my way, and I was like, nobody cares. And see how that kind of, I know these guys care about me. I guess after this weekend we're going to have to talk. But now, I know these guys care about me. But it went into something very unhealthy. So here's what came out of the rest of God just dealing with me after I got home. He says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Next one. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. And let me tell you about the peace that I had when God said, just let me embrace you. When that thought is like, God still got me. He ain't chunked me out the house. He ain't put me on. Yeah, he's with me. So the peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Boy, Thursday was tribulation for me. And I know some of you can walk out of here and say, gosh, he's such a whiner. And you'd probably be right. At least at points. Y'all don't tell my wife none of this. But anyway, at least at points. But this is a big deal. He says, in this life you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. I have power over your situation. I have power over your problems. I've overcome all that. I've overcome you getting lost. I've overcome you getting out of whack. I've overcome. Everybody said, take heart. Remember this. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. That one might be a little stretch for some of you, but that really comforted me. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. At verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. You ever had these little phrases like that in the Bible that you just need to hear it? Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. In fact, let's do this. Let's just read this together, okay? Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. God never quit caring for me. He will never quit caring for me. Do we have one more? And the peace of God. Guys, let me tell you about my night last night. I laid in the bed, which was a little better than a tent, by the way. Meanwhile, I actually had a pillow last night. So I laid in the bed last night and thanking God for His mercy and for His grace. I thanked Him for showing me what He had shown me. And this passage of Scripture is like, and the peace of God. And I just stopped right there. And the peace of God. I got a really good night's sleep last night. And I felt the peace of God. It had to start with repentance. It had to start with repentance. Saying, God, this is what happened. This, You know my heart and this is it. And so here it is. And truly repenting of it. And now I feel the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Believe me, I can't fathom how deep, how wide, how massive the peace of God is. He said it surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, here's the end of the story. Next time I'm traveling to a no-existent land that doesn't even exist anywhere, and I get lost, and I can assure you I will probably get lost, and I have no technology to point the direction, God will give me direction. And we'll take those circumstances and we'll trust God and we'll just keep peaceful because He never left me. See, that's just a little nugget of my life. Y'all got any nuggets like that? Maybe happened this week, last week, might happen this week. That's just a little nugget of my life. And I could have chose to be, in fact, I didn't think about this because, Trey and Josh would have probably reprimanded me. But I wanted to walk into the camp and say, what kind of heathens are y'all? You know? Hush. See, when it becomes all about me, frustration just eats your lunch. It just takes over. And that's what happened. And for a brief little time, it did several things. My frustration made me angry. It ain't helped my health any at all. When your ears are red, your blood pressure's high. So for a little while, I damaged some health. I almost could have possibly made an enemy. And I'm just one little nugget. And all it would have took is to remember who my God was. And who He is. In fact, I was telling Cindy, I said, I should have pulled over on the side of the road, got this out of my book bag. Give Mark a text. I'm in Clemson, come get me, even if it's midnight. And I should have stopped, and I should have opened this up, and I should have said, God, I'm in a pickle. I'm just in a pickle. Don't know what to do, and I'm getting angry. And anger ain't of you. And anger doesn't come from you. So, Father, I'm just going to sit here and anchor into this and read about you and read what you do and read what you have done and read about what you're doing and, God, how massive and awesome and magnificent you are. God, I'm just going to sit here. You'll send someone. You'll take care of it. Man, I wished I would have done that. But I didn't. But I thank God for the preaching in the tent that he did to me and for me. Heck, I don't know what else to say. But that was this week. I'm sorry if I discouraged you, but I am standing here this morning completely encouraged by our awesome, faithful, and mighty God. He never ceases to take care of you. And so, guys, if you're dealing with any kind of frustration or any kind of aggravation, tell him, hand it to him, trust him. It's got to be him. It can't be you, because I couldn't even prepare a message this week. I don't think you wanted me to. I think you want me to bring you this. Let's pray and go out into the world and be Jesus for people. Let's pray. Father God, you are so awesome. Father, the things that has transpired over the last several hours in my life, Father, once again, just nails it. God, it just confirms. Once again in my life, you are who you say you are. God, you hold the whole world, not just the upstate, but you hold the whole world in your hands. And it even looks very small in your hand. God, you control it all. God, I thank you for delivering me from the feeling of just lostness. God, of just not knowing what to do and where to go. And God, the fear and the God, just the feelings that come along with that. God, thank you for delivering me from that. God, I thank you for your reminders from your word about you receiving me back with open arms. Father, about you giving me, just cover me with your grace. God, you give me exactly what I need. And God, just as you did with Paul on his journey, though mine is minute compared to Paul's, God, you still were in my journey. And your grace was sufficient. It's real, it's right, it's true. So, Father, I thank you for that. Thank you for taking a piece of my life and once again opening my eyes to your truth. I praise you and thank you for that. God, may you be glorified and honored in all that we do and say as we go out this week. God, as we go and be an example of who you are, God, people should see you as they look at us. So, God, keep us mindful of that and keep us obedient to living in a way that reveals who you are. Father God, I thank you and praise you. May you be lifted up in our lives and illuminated this week. In Jesus' name, amen.